By picture time, we noticed the groom was already intoxicated. So now the groom is already drunk. So this Derek guy's drunk, the groom is drunk because they have shots everywhere. Then came cake cutting. The groom was so intoxicated that he couldn't stand on his own.
Oh my gosh.
He can't even stand up there. I would be really questioning marrying this person right now. Hey guys, thanks for tuning into this episode of Here Comes the Drama. Before we get started, I do want to let you know that we did have some technical issues while recording. You gotta love the internet, gotta love technology. So it randomly cuts out. I'm thinking through all the editing, it should be okay. So no worries there. But if you are watching this on YouTube, you will notice some freezing faces. We might not be completely lined up when it comes to that. I hope it's not too annoying. But besides that, it's a great episode. And I'm excited you guys are here to tune in with me. I have Cora Lakey back with me. We had just so much fun the last time that I invited her back. I felt like right off the bat, we had so much to talk about. I feel like I could talk to her for hours. She's just so relatable. She's just very down to earth. And I really enjoyed having her come on. Cora actually is a content creator from TikTok. She kicked off her own content through wedding drama of her own. And since then, she's been building her following, sharing lifestyle content, commentary of all things pop culture, and of course, plenty of wedding hot takes as well. And on top of that, she's been talking about starting over since her divorce, bringing honesty, relatability to everything that she posts. So in this particular episode, we talk about pop culture and internet drama. It's kind of funny. Whenever I see things in pop culture, I always think of Cora now because she'll share about it and I just message her right away. I'm like, do you want to come and talk about this? So we talk about some things going on right now. And then we react to a wild drunken wedding story from a vendor's perspective. So it was fun to hear something from a whole new perspective. We get a lot of bride stories, bridesmaids, mother of the groom, mother of the bride. This was a vendor, and this was very interesting. So I loved that. And then, of course, we end with your anonymous confessions that just were very jaw-dropping. So we give some commentary on that. So grab your headphones, grab a drink, grab a coffee, whatever is floating your boat today, because this one is equal parts real talk, spilling some tea, and total chaos. So I hope you guys are ready for it. Thanks for hanging out. And I'll see you on the other side. Bye. Hi, Cora.
Hi, Krista.
Thank you so much for coming back on. I'm so excited.
Thanks for having me back. I feel like it's such an honor to be on more than once. So super excited.
I feel like we just had so much fun last time. We were just talking and it was like old friends hanging out and we read crazy stories and just we want to spill more tea.
Yeah. I'm excited to spill with you or hopefully hear more tea. I feel like the stories we covered were crazy last time. So can't wait.
Yeah. Well, I'm so excited to have you back on. I know I just said that, but I feel like last time it just like flew so well. And what's new for anyone that did not listen to the last episode when you came on? What's new? Who are you? Tell us about yourself.
Yeah. So a lot has changed since I was last on. I feel like I have a new name, new life, which is crazy. So I think last time we were together, I was still in the Bay Area, just like kind of having my life implode. My divorce was kind of just starting. And now I'm 6 months in it. I'm living on my own for the first time in my life. Have two dogs. And I think we got connected on TikTok. So I primarily post on TikTok, which is maybe how my audience knows me. And I first went viral there for a wedding story time that maybe could have been featured on this show. And maybe was an omen for the marriage working out. But, you know, it gave me a whole new career and a lot of great relationships like with you. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny all the stories that get sent to me. And like, I always want to do like follow-up segments with people too, to be like, I feel like yours what had to do more with like bridesmaids, right? And like a friend fallout. But like a lot of times when I like hear about these crazy like in-law stories that are sent to me, I'm like, I want to follow up with people and be like, did the marriage work? Sometimes they tell me like, oh, this is my ex-husband story, or this is my ex, we never made it down the aisle or something. Cause I'm like, some of these stories are so insane where I'm like, how could you put up with that for a marriage, knowing your in-laws hate you or a sister-in-law hates you? That sounds like hell to me. That sounds terrible.
Yeah. And I mean, people are sneaky and I feel like, yeah, you just never know. And I feel like if people are having those signs before they even walk down the aisle, it's only going to progressively get worse. So I agree. I want to hear the update. So anyone listening, give us your lives.
Yes. I know. I've had a couple like brides come on and let me like ask them any questions. They come on anonymously and spill some stuff. But it was funny. One time someone came on and she was like, yeah, things are better than like where they left off. And then we like hung up or we stopped recording. And she was, honestly, things are like getting kind of worse again. But like, I don't want to say anything yet because I'm not sure. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is going on? Like, there's just, I don't know. People deal with a lot of stuff in relationships.
Isn't it crazy? You never know what's going on behind closed doors. And I feel like I've been trying to toe that fine line because I've been talking about my divorce publicly, but I obviously haven't said the actual reasons publicly because, you know, A, it's no one's business. And I think there's a fine line with creators. But B, I think it's like, I don't want to make anyone, I guess, like second guess things going on in their relationships because you just never know what's happening. And even like the little tidbits I've shared, it's crazy. The DMs I'll get of like, oh my gosh, I've been through that too. Or I've experienced that scenario. And on paper, they look so happy. Or I'll get messages from, you know, people with all their wedding pictures and they look so in love. And they send me the craziest confessions. I'm like, oh my gosh. So if you're ever comparing yourself to anyone, like you really just can't because there's a reason why 50% of marriages end in divorce. You just never know what's going on. And I think that's especially important for me being 31 now and kind of starting my life over. Like I want women to see my story and see other women that maybe aren't where they thought they'd be in life and feel encouraged because it's such a beautiful chance to start over. And also like, you just never know what you're comparing yourself to. You're only looking at the most glamorized version of people's lives online. And sometimes it can be really easy to fall into that trap. So
yeah,
it is really crazy when it's people that, like, don't share, but when they do share.
Yes. I know. It's like that social media comparison game of like, you never really know what lives you are living because they want to put up a facade or like they just want things to look pretty. And then that's why, like, I think a lot of times, like, people are shocked with like celebrity divorces or celebrity breakups. They're like, they looked so perfect and beautiful and like, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, we're only seeing them as like a celebrity. We're seeing them in a movie or we're seeing them on a red carpet. We're not like in their home. So we're only seeing what they want to put out, you know?
Right. Are we going to talk about Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban?
I was actually thinking that when I first said that. I was like, what? Because they're like the OG, like they've been together a while.
I know. I don't know when this is going to air, but in real time, this is like breaking of like all the details coming out. I can't believe it. That's a great example. You just never know what's going on behind the scenes. They seemed so in love and dang, I'm shocked. I thought nothing would shock me anymore.
Because I feel like in celebrity or Hollywood years, even 10 years, even 5 years sometimes is like, in celebrity marriages, that's like a long time because it just happened so quickly. So they were going on 20 years almost. So have you heard anything else like about it? Like details come out?
There's allegedly, the Nashville community is saying there's allegedly another woman that is involved. I don't know how true that is, but I guess we'll find out more. It seems like day by day. But so today, as we're filming, Nicole filed, which is interesting.
Okay.
So I think details are to come, but I can't believe it. It's so sad.
Yeah. I know. I had to take a double take. There was just another celebrity divorce, I feel like, where there was, a breakup. Shaun White and...
Rev.
Yes. Yes. I just saw that last week. And there's all these cheating rumors about he's like dealt with cheating in the past. So I don't know if it was directly on her. But now all these things are coming out. But again, this is all a legend. I don't know.
Legend. But all the players.
Yeah. They were always a shocking couple to me because I remember hearing things about him years ago that he was kind of like full of himself. I mean.
I think just living in LA, you hear stuff. So I've definitely heard some interesting stories about him as well. But man, who fumbles Nina Dobrev? You know, no matter what happened.
It's like, I know.
She seems amazing. She's so successful, gorgeous, so funny. What a bummer. I know. That one shocked me too.
Yeah, it's true. Well, and then I saw a post of her. She was like on a boat with like Miles Teller and like Zac Efron and someone else. And I was like, okay, she's good. She's fine.
You know what I find more interesting than the breakups is like the friend breakups. And I don't know if there's any substance there, but speaking of the Tellers, and we have Taylor Swift's album coming out on Friday. What's going on there?
Wait,
what
happened to Kelly Teller?
I don't know. They're just like, maybe they are, but I've been thinking about that because Taylor's obviously engaged, which was another shock. I feel like we could just do like a top five wedding stories on this episode. I swear so much is happening. But I've been thinking about who Taylor Swift's bridesmaids would be. And they were super close at one point. And now never see them together. And like, I feel like Kelly would always post music in her TikToks. Now none.
He was even in like, one of her music videos.
Yes, she was. Yeah, and Miles was too. So I'm like, what's the tea there? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. I find that interesting too. Well, and then the whole like her and Blake Lively aren't friends anymore, which is wild. But also I feel like, I don't know, it's like once they get so big, they all have to have these really big egos probably. And it's just like, don't cross me. I don't know. Like, and then the lawyers get involved and it's messy. And I'm sure there's a lot of like secret friendships too that we don't know about because they just know the paparazzi is going to talk or media is going to talk. And maybe there's some that they want to preserve to themselves.
Yeah. Protect your peace. Yeah. I completely understand that. Yeah. I feel like the Tellers in particular are really good at like, from what we see publicly, having those really good, substantial relationships. And they seem like they're good friends. So love that they're protecting Nina during this time. But yeah, that was a crazy one too.
Yeah.
I mean, better, I don't know your opinion on this, but I feel like it's better to cut it off before the engagement if something's going wrong than too late. Absolutely. And I think when you are, just for not even celebrity wise, but normal person wise, it's so hard when financially you have so much involved in a wedding. Then you're like, oh my gosh, I have to see this through, even though I don't think it's going to work. And it's kind of sad.
Yeah. I've heard so many stories, like some that have been sent to me that are like, they saw all the red flags during the engagement and the wedding planning, but then they felt like they had to keep going. Not necessarily just to like prove a point, but they were like, we put money in already. So like, we just have to do it. But like the one skit, which again, by the time this comes out, I might be done with the skit, but this one skit I'm doing right now, it's so long because of the story that was sent to me. And it's like super toxic in-laws. I'm talking the dad bought wedding dresses for the bride to try on from Amazon. And she was like, already said, no, like I'm going with my mom. And he's like, but these are cheaper. They're more affordable. She's like, I never said I need your help with a wedding dress. And then the mom paid for the venue without talking to them first.
Oh,
so all this stuff. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, how do you deal with something like that? I can't even imagine. All these people keep commenting like, they've got to cancel the wedding. They've got to cancel the wedding. But in the actual story, they get married. So I can only imagine what happens after. I don't know. We hear all these stories growing up. It's like Disney and all these, you know, things like that where it's the happily ever after. So we think you get to the marriage and that's the finish line. But it's like, no, that's when your life continues or starts or there's something more after it. And I feel like we're just zone.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, that is scary. I feel like it just gets worse too. When you have kids, I'm sure if they're already poking the bear and kind of trying to assert what their boundaries are, once those people become grandparents, oh my gosh, you're kind of locked in. And man, I don't know. I feel like you marry your in-laws and that's something that's not talked about enough. And if your spouse is not setting those boundaries with them, I mean, everyone has different boundaries, but you kind of have to gauge your comfortability with that. And I feel like I hear a lot of stories of men that don't protect their wives with their in-laws. I mean, we all know some of my lore, but it's crazy what people think is appropriate and what isn't.
Yeah. And it's like, if you don't put boundaries in place ahead of time, then they keep sneaking in. Or it's, what's that phrase where it's like, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. Right. So it's like you say yes to things here and there. We see it time and time again. But yeah, you bring up a good point too. It's like once babies come, if they choose to have kids, then that's a whole, like if they were bad during wedding planning, just imagine when you create a life that has their DNA. Yeah. They think they have a right to that child. It's wild.
Yeah. I feel like something I've really learned just through this last year and through my own, I guess I'm in like my, not to sound woo-woo, but like my healing journey, just actively going through a divorce. And I think it's really opened my eyes to the fact that a lot of people want to be married, but they're not necessarily ready for what marriage is. And I think generationally as well, that can apply to your in-laws, right? Like how things were done 20, 30, 40 years ago isn't acceptable now, right? And it's about setting the foundation well, because the person that you marry is going to see your parents die. They're going to see the worst days of your life. There's like just so many things that happen, like so many seasons of life that they're supposed to be there with you for. And it's kind of crazy that I think a lot of people just want to check the box of saying they're married. So they're like, oh my God, I don't have to do this anymore, rather than really committing to what a marriage is. And I mean, yeah, just some of the confessions I get too, it's like, I really don't want to tell people what to do because I only see a limited view of what's happening. But
right,
I would be comfortable with certain situations that I hear about.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point about like what was okay, or maybe like people allowed more in our parents' generation is not okay now. I think a lot more of us are looking for more equal partnership. And if they come from a more traditional background where it's like maybe it was the mom stayed home and the dad went to work and she's expected to clean, you know, do his laundry and do all the dishes and do all that and cook. And maybe that's not what their life looks like. I see that all the time where it's like you see people post about, well, I work a full-time job and my husband does. So like we should split the home stuff. That is like a whole thing that the older generation doesn't get, because they're like, well, no, that's not her job. Her job is this, you know, and that's hard for people to come to terms with.
And especially a situation with maybe in-laws that don't respect your boundaries. It's like, oh my gosh, it makes everything amplified when they're making things 10 times worse by asserting those opinions, if there are those fractures in your relationship. So yeah, I can't even imagine. Glad I'm not dealing with that right now, but thinking about that for the next phase of life, for sure.
Yes, definitely things you can look out for. It's like, I will say, and again, people change sometimes, unluckily, like once you get married or like as you date people and stuff, but I will say my in-laws have always been amazing. I met them within I would say like the first 5 days of meeting my husband.
What?
Yeah. He was like so excited, and they were like having like people over for a barbecue anyway. And he like brought me there. And I don't know, I was never used to like parents like his. Like they were just so like interested in like getting to know me. And they were like so welcoming. And they were like right off the bat were just really cool. I got really lucky. So when I read these stories, I'm just like, I don't know. That's why I can't comprehend how people like stay with someone with terrible in-laws. I'm not confrontational. Like I can feel tension when it's like bad. I just don't like it. And so if every time I had to go like see my in-laws and I was like, oh, they hate me, I couldn't imagine. That would be so uncomfortable. I feel for these brides. And
right. It's always the guys that bring nothing to the table that have the worst parents. You're like, what? Like you'll hear these stories in
your whole life.
Yeah. What do they bring to the relationship? It sounds like you're doing everything. Yes.
They did their laundry till he was 28 or whatever.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh my gosh. I feel like I heard a really good saying on TikTok where it was like every relationship, there's a season where there you have to be like the gardener or the rose, and the roles can change. And I feel like that's a really big thing in relationships that I'm definitely looking forward to. It's like, in some seasons of life, you're fully the gardener and maybe someone else needs more support, but it's the ability to shift those roles and have the flexibility to shift those roles that I think is so important. So I think it's possible. And I just want to encourage anyone listening that maybe you've been through a broken engagement or a divorce. There's resilience and positivity and so much growth that happens through that. And I feel like this has been like the hardest 6 months of my life and like the loneliest, but it's also been the most growth. Right? Like, I think when I was married, I almost felt like it was like 6 months or 6 years of just like wanting change and wanting my life to change, to be different, and just feeling stuck. Mm-hmm. And in the 6 months, like I've grown more than I have in the last 6 years, which is insane. So can develop and grow and change, and maybe things don't work out, but there's still lessons out of that. And there's love on the other side of that. And It's great. And I'm surprised. Like, I feel like I was really scared to start dating again. I'm definitely very lightly looking, like not like actively seeing anyone, but I thought people would judge me so much for being divorced. Mm-hmm. And it's literally like, doesn't even faze guys. They're just like, oh, okay. Like, which I was really surprised by. So if anyone's like thinking about it or they're like, oh my God, I don't know. Like, I kind of want a divorce, but I'm too scared. It's like, it's actually not as bad as I thought it would be on the other side. It's like hard, but dating wise, I've been very pleasantly surprised.
Good. I'm sure you're like learning a lot about yourself too, especially like first time living alone. And I feel like a lot of times we like move from one thing to the next without really absorbing, like, is this making me happy? Or do I want to do something different? And we just kind of, like you said earlier, like check the boxes. And so I'm sure you're like really able to like ask yourself those questions and be like, I'm just in your era of learning about myself and what actually is important to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a crystal clear definition of what I want in a partner. And I'm just not going to settle for anything less than that. And I think as women, we naturally talk ourselves out of things, or we've been coached to kind of like settle for things. And it's like, we really don't need to. We're so multifaceted. We're so successful on our own. A man should only add value to your life and should add to your life, period. He shouldn't detract from you. He shouldn't be sucking your life force out, right? And especially when they're the father of your children, that's going to be especially critical, because it's those make or break moments in life that like you're really going to see who they are. And so, yeah, I feel like I'm really crystal clear on what I want in a partner. And I feel like before I was like, maybe I want this, maybe I want that, maybe I'll be flexible. And I'm like, no, I can provide that for myself. And mm-hmm. I want a man to be a welcome addition to my life, not to provide something for me, for my life. Yeah, that alone is such a big lesson that made it all worth it, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like all along we were taught, like growing up, to look for the wrong things. And not, maybe that's a little general, but you know what I mean? Like the movies where it's like the Prince Charming, they're just like talking about like, they look this way. They, I don't know, whatever it is, like they have all this money, or they have this certain job, or they have this, you know, and it's like, but what beneath the surface can they actually offer us? Are they going to be there when we need them for something? Are they going to support us in our own dreams and goals? Are they going to be a good father and actually want to like be hands-on, or are they just going to expect you to, you know, like those kind of things are the things we have to like think about, I think, ahead of time.
Yeah, I just had to think definitely. Like 12 times. And I think all of those lessons, which is interesting, like all those stories that are presented to little girls is all about how they react mm-hmm. to these guys. They're just put in your lap and it's like, okay, well, let's look at Quasimodo. Esmeralda was so vain for not being attracted to him. And it's like, well, okay, but like, why is it on her to react that way? Or like, I don't know. There's just so many stories like Beauty and the Beast, right? It's like all about why are we molding ourselves and pivoting to what society's expectations are? It's so strange to me, and why it's always, okay, let's see how she reacts. Let's see if she's vain. Let's see if she's going to put up with this. And it's like, no, why is Belle being put in a situation where she's being verbally abused and kidnapped? And now she has to be okay with spending her life with this person. It's insane.
She's so, pleaser.
It's subliminal message.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Just be the caretaker. Exactly.
Take care of the guy that like kidnapped you and fall in love with him because he did something nice for you. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Give him the benefit of the doubt. It's fine.
Yeah. They're expected to be perfect and beautiful and smart and poised and the whole package, but it's okay if he's literally an abuser.
Right.
Okay. You know?
So, yeah.
Yeah. I think those stories do get in the psyche of little girls, and you grow up and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so behind because I'm not married at 30 and I don't have a kid. And it's like, oh my gosh, those things do get to you later in life. So silly as it might sound, it does add up.
Yeah. Yes. Everyone's got their own timeline. Okay, I added a new segment this time, but I know we also want to talk really quickly before we get to that. Let's talk about the new Bachelorette from Mom Talk.
I'm so excited. Yeah. I will actually be watching.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts? Are you a big Mom Talk Secret Lives? Yeah, Secret Lives of Mormon Wives watcher.
I'm huge. Like, I'm their biggest fan. I will move to Utah and join Mom Talk. I can't. I love that. That is the only thing that could get me to watch The Bachelor, Bachelorette again. It was getting so stale. And I feel like ABC just never listens when the audience gives them feedback. So finally, they do something interesting. What I thought was interesting, a couple points that people brought up is like, there's almost a double standard with Taylor where she wouldn't have passed the background check to go on the show, right? And that is a big thing, even though the case was dismissed against her. And if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, like, you can look it up. But that is an interesting point. Like, are they going to be more flexible with the contestants because of that? Another point people brought up is like, why not one of the other girls? What about Layla or Miranda? I feel like they'd be great.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Did they pick Miranda the right person? Did they not?
Is Miranda the blonde that just joined season two? Okay, so I was like die hard, love season one. I just have not gotten around to watching season two, which I feel like has been, I'm so behind.
I think
I watched the first two episodes and I was like, okay, I just like have, I need to find the time. But I loved Taylor season one. And then some of my friends say it kind of like changes. And now I like love Whitney, but I don't really like see her. I just see her on social media and I see her on Dancing with the Stars when I catch her. And I just love her like vibe. I don't know what it is. I love her vibe now. I did not season one. So yeah, that is really interesting.
You know what? It's interesting how interchangeable the characters are, right? Of like, who's the villain, who's not. That was the biggest takeaway I had from season two, not to spoil for you. But like, yeah, it's like you would think Whitney, clear cut villain. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, never mind. She's fine. And so it's crazy. We just, I guess we'll have to see what happens. But
yeah.
It's going to be a good season, you know what I mean?
It's funny because when I first, to be all honest, when I first saw them announce Taylor as the Bachelorette, because I saw Alex Cooper's like teaser and I saw it and I was like, what? That's kind of disappointing. Because I was like, all these women that aren't in reality TV yet that are like, want the chance, you know? But then I thought about it and what you said, I'm like, I don't watch Bachelorette anymore. I have not watched in years because I was just so like bored of it. And it just didn't make sense for me. I was like kind of shocked because I was like, oh, there's so many women that want to go on that have not been in the reality TV world. So I feel like when they carry people over from one show to the other, I'm just like, oh, come on. Like there's so many people out there that want a chance. But then when I thought about it, I'm like, I haven't watched Bachelorette in years, Bachelor or Bachelorette. I don't even know whose season I watched last, honestly. And I'm like, it was kind of boring and needed a little excitement. So for TV entertainment purposes only, not for like morality or for like whoever it should be. I was like, I can see Taylor being a good choice because I was like, people are going to watch.
My problem is I am so cynical that I just assume anyone who wants to be a contestant on either of those shows wants social media fame, which nothing wrong with that, right? Like it's a grind out here, but that's what I'm really worried about with Taylor, because that's a big storyline on season two of Secret Lives of Mormon Wives is she is, when you get down to the nitty gritty, like she's very pure of heart and she really doesn't care about the monetary side of it. She just enjoys her life. She enjoys the opportunities that Mom Talk has provided, but she's not, I guess, fame hungry, which is really refreshing. And I worry that her announcement is going to attract the wrong type of guy that just wants fame because it's already been a huge issue on the Bachelor franchise. And I feel like they know there is a built-in huge following. And I mean, I've had negative experiences with Bachelorette contestants on social media, just being fame hungry, like people sliding in my DMs about collabs and just being super weird. And I have like no following. So I'm like, as someone with 4 million followers, like you do need to think of that stuff. It's like, are these people just trying to be famous or do they genuinely want to be with her? It's a little bit scary to think about.
Yeah, I was just talking to someone a couple weeks ago on the podcast about like reality TV and what it's turned into. And I feel like a lot of people do go on just to get that platform and be famous now. But yeah, I'm sure even more so with someone that already has a big following, they're going to be these guys that are going to be desperate for the limelight.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And it's almost ruined reality TV because people are just going on reality TV. It seems like to amplify their brands, but then they're so scared of getting canceled, they don't act organic on TV. And I think that's what's been so refreshing about Taylor and the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives girls is they don't care. So I really hope that doesn't happen this season. I know, I feel like Taylor's no BS and she's going to see it right away, but I don't know. I'm kind of scared for her.
Yeah, it'll be interesting for sure. Okay, so this next one is red flag versus green flag. And this is groomsmen bridal party edition. So just say red flag or green flag based on the scenario. Okay, a bridesmaid gets drunk at the bachelorette and admits she hooked up with the groom right before he started dating the bride.
Oh my God. Definitely not a green flag. I don't know. I mean, keeping that secret
till right
is
before
really shady. Wedding. And then neither of them bringing it up again.
Yeah. Oof.
Wrong orange. That's for sure.
Yeah, I know. I'm that person. I have so many questions. So I'm like, why are you waiting until the bachelorette party? And you never told your friend, like, hey, by the way, this happened. But I don't know when the right time would be, like, if they start dating and you're like, hey, just so you know. But then things would always be weird, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess it's so dependent on the friend group and their comfortability and their situation. I mean, we were literally just talking about Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, and that's something actively happening on Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Really?
Layla dated one brother and dating another brother, and they're both totally cool with it. So
yeah,
I guess it depends on
wait, what they dated the same with. Brother? They stayed the same brother or they just dated brothers?
No, Layla is dating, she's dated the brothers. Now she's dating the other brother. Yeah. So it's like, that's a weird situation, but
that's weird.
Fine with it. Yeah. I wouldn't be comfortable with that. I guess it depends. But yeah, I feel like your husband or fiance keeping that from you and your friend, it's like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Very curious.
Yeah. That'd be a little.
Maybe red.
Yeah. And the timing would make me not happy. Okay. Next one. The maid of honor disappears mid-bachelorette with a random guy, taking the itinerary, decorations, and matching outfits with her.
Are these real?
No, we just make them up.
Like, these things have happened? Okay, I was like, oh my God. No. I need more background. Psychotic. Why? Like, why? Red. That's so super strange.
I should say,
why like... steal all this stuff?
So I should say all of these are like inspired by stories sent to us, but like obviously people don't send me like, oh, hear this or that, but like they're inspired. Like someone sent me a story once where the maid of honor wanted to go meet up with a guy when they were at their bachelorette. So they are inspired, but like very loosely. Yeah.
Right. Only a red flag. Is he having a bachelorette party? Why do you need all that stuff?
Right. Photos from the groom's bachelor party leaked. He ended up at a strip club he swore he didn't want to go to.
Red. Red. No. Unless it's the hangover and he literally is unconscious in the photos. No excuse.
Yes. Bridesmaid's phone lights up at 2 a.m. during the bachelorette and it's the groom texting her just to vent.
A bridesmaid? What? I guess if it's his sister, sure.
Right.
Or his cousin, but what? What's wrong with these men? No, yeah. Red.
I'm like, these are so red. The groom secretly invited his ex to the bachelor party and the groomsmen let it slide.
Red. Reddest of them all. No. Ew. The thing is, I can so see something like this happening and no, no.
I know.
I'm sure a lot similar.
Yeah. It's funny too, because like anytime I read outlandish things like this, someone will comment like, yeah, that happened to me. That happened at a wedding I was at. Happened. So it's like, no matter how outlandish it is, these things happen. It's just wild. I had one where the mother-in-law invited the son's ex to the wedding as her plus one. She's like, I get a plus one. I can invite whoever I want. It's wild.
But anyone who would willingly do that on either side, the mother-in-law or the ex willing to go to the wedding, it's just like, how bored are you in your life? That you have to cause that.
Yes.
Insane behavior.
Anyone that does that knows that's not okay. You want attention. You want to make someone feel bad or you want to be a bully or something. You can't be like, oh, I didn't know that was not acceptable. Like, come on. You know that's not okay.
It's insane.
Okay, I'll do one more and then we'll get into the story. The groom's sister, who's a bridesmaid, complains nonstop about the cost and threatens to drop out every other week.
I almost turn passive aggressive sweet in those situations, like a kill them with kindness type thing, because you want to turn it on them to offer them the out that you want to give them. Like, you don't want them to be a bridesmaid. So you say, I understand weddings are a huge financial burden. If it doesn't work for you, no worries. I can take that off your plate, turn it on them. You voiced how uncomfortable you are. I want to be there for you. You should just enjoy it as a guest. Don't worry about a gift. We just want to have you there, but I get it.
Yeah. That's like the perfect way to respond to someone like that. Because again, it's like, they're probably just doing it for attention or they're unhappy about something. So that's the best way to do it. Be like, hey, totally understand. If you don't want to be a part of it, that's fine. You'll still be there in all the wedding photos, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. That's all you can do. It's hard in those situations because you also want to be fair and equitable to your other bridesmaids too. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, if I'm paying for this one person's way, it's like, then I really have to pay for everyone else's way too to make it fair. So it's kind of hard. You can't really cherry pick situations like that. So you kind of do have to lay down the hammer, I feel like.
Yeah.
Even definitely. If it's mean. Sorry.
Yeah. Boundaries aren't mean. They're just being firm. Yeah. I love it.
Hey, drama lovers. Big news. My book, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story, is officially out now. If you've been following their wild wedding saga online, this is the full story, packed with messy twists, sharp banter, family chaos, and all the heart you've come to love. And judging by your messages and posts, you're loving it too. Huge thanks to everyone who's already grabbed a copy early and shared it on social media. Your support means everything. If you haven't read it yet, now is the time. Head to KristaEnnis.com/book or click the link in the show notes. It's available in both print and ebook. Grab your copy before the spoilers start showing up in the comment sections, because trust me, you'll want to experience every jaw-dropping moment for yourself.
All right, let's blind react to this week's wedding story submission. This is a true story that someone sent to me, so here we go. Feel free to stop me at any point, or we'll just kind of react along the way. Okay, we knew right away this wedding wasn't going to be boring. At the top of the aisle, there was a big sign that read, "Take a shot and take a seat." About 7 years ago, my husband and I had just moved into our new house. On weekends, we picked up part-time jobs at a local wedding venue. Easy money and something for me to do while my husband worked shifts at his full-time job. At that point, I had already been in the wedding industry for a while, teaching couples their first dances and coordinating a few weddings for friends. So working at a venue felt pretty natural. At this wedding, this one is always the story I tell because you just can't make this stuff up. The day started out like any other. Staff arrived, we set up, and everything was on schedule. The ceremony was supposed to be outside, but because of rain, we had to move it under the covered reception area. The guest list was about 120 people, pretty standard for that venue. As we were setting up, we noticed a big bag of Fireball shots next to the sign that said, "Take a shot and take a seat." The bride and groom wanted every guest to grab one before the ceremony began. So this is a party. They want to start the party off early.
Wow.
I also love that this is a wedding vendor story because we don't get a ton of them. It's normally like the bride or a bridesmaid. So this is like a cool, different perspective. Okay. It says, as we worked, one guest caught our attention. He wore bright coral pants and a loud floral shirt. For the sake of the story, let's call him Derek. Derek showed up nearly 2 hours early and went straight to the bar asking for a drink. Now, the venue policy was no drinks until cocktail hour, so we politely told him no. But Derek did not like that answer. He marched off to find the groom and somehow convinced the wedding party to give us permission to serve him early. Not exactly standard protocol, but when the couple says yes, you follow their wishes. I'm wondering if they've standard protocol because of people like this. So I'm like, how did that guy convince them to change that? It's probably not a good idea.
As a former wedding vendor, I question that, honestly, because you know those insurance contracts, like there's no way. If that guy fell down the stairs or something, they wouldn't be like, well, protocol, it changes. Like, no.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, those are in place for a reason.
I'm just questioning this venue at this point because, yeah, with the insurance stuff, they're very regimented legally. I've certainly never heard of that, but
yeah.
What up with this venue?
Yeah. All right. It says, by picture time, we noticed the groom was already intoxicated. So now the groom is already drunk. So this Derek guy's drunk. The groom is drunk because they have shots everywhere. The ceremony was at 4 p.m. And when guests arrived, sure enough, they each grab a Fireball shot before taking their seats. The ceremony went on, but the bride looked clearly irritated that her groom was already drunk. Well, yeah. I want to know whose idea it was to have the shots at the wedding. You know, like,
is water what? What did you expect? Oh my gosh, that's insane.
Yeah.
What a nightmare for a venue. Oh my gosh.
Right. Afterward, we flipped the space for the reception. At this point, the bar officially opened. Derek made a big deal about how he could finally drink now that we weren't holding out on him. Dinner was served, dances were danced, speeches were made, and you could already tell the group was sloppy, getting sloppy fast. See, that's just a problem. Like, I get wanting to have a party and have fun, but when you already know people have drinking problems or can't control their liquor, and then you hand out shots before the wedding, before pictures, it's like people are not going to make it to the end of the night. Not going to be good.
I feel like a lot of venues have no hard liquor policies because of this, right? Because accidents happen and people get super drunk and there's drama, or at least the venue has to serve it, I think. So again, questioning this venue a little bit, like, why are they allowing this?
Yeah. Why are they allowing this and then breaking the rules? And again, I really want to know whose idea it was to do the shots, because it sounds to me like the groom maybe has some kind of drinking problem, but like, why would the bride agree to having shots? Or maybe he's like, oh, I'll be fine. Like, don't worry. It's like, will you be okay?
Yeah. I mean, even my venue, I was shocked because we had a no hard liquor policy. I think because it's like Napa, Sonoma. I'm not sure if that's the whole area, but our venue did. And people snuck in canteens and they snuck in vodka and stuff. And I was like, how much are these people drinking?
My God.
Like, why do they need this? You know what I mean? And it's something I hear at every wedding. And it's true. It's like, you can't rely on the fact that people are going to be 100% sober. Like, it's a huge issue in this country, obviously. But it's crazy how even on your wedding day, you do have to think of stuff like that, like all the logistics.
Yeah. And also, you can't control what everyone drinks before the wedding. You would just hope people that are in the wedding, especially your groom, is like, okay, I'm going to wait to drink until after to like dancing. But yeah. Okay.
Sir. Oh my God.
Okay. It says, then came cake cutting. The groom was so intoxicated that he couldn't stand on his own. Oh my gosh. He can't even stand up there. I would be really questioning marrying this person right now.
And isn't the cake cutting, I mean, I guess it depends on the wedding, but before or after the first dance? Because was he able to do his first dance?
I know. I feel like it's typically when you first walk out. Sometimes it's right before dances, but either way, yeah, he's not going to be doing that.
What a nightmare. Oh
my gosh. The venue owner had to literally hold him upright just to get one decent photo and a slice of cake. The venue owner is holding him up.
Oh my God.
The bride, she broke down crying and ran off. Oh my gosh, I feel so bad for her. It makes me wonder, too, like, what signs were there ahead of time? Did she know he had some kind of drinking problem? Or, like, were his groomsmen, like, the culprits? And they were, I mean, obviously no one can, like, make you. But were they, like, bringing shots in and just pouring, like, doubles? It makes me really wonder.
That's awful. For anyone who listening who hasn't worked in the wedding industry, the venue is liable if anything happens to the couple on site. And especially if people are driving drunk. There's investigations that go into that stuff. And if they can track that happens at the venue can be in huge trouble, right? So that is really concerning me. Again, third time I'm questioning this venue, because what do you mean the venue holder is like owner's holding him up, right? Why are we not calling paramedics so we don't get sued? Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, there is a lot of liability that you think about, I feel like, as a venue. Yeah, I don't know. It says, not long after, a little boy, maybe 6 or 7, walked up to the bar and asked for a beer. For who? We asked. For my dad. He's the groom. So now he's sending his child to the bar to get alcohol for him.
Oh my God. Why are they still serving?
Why is the wedding still going on? Is he just like passed out somewhere? This is wild.
Where is this?
We need more details. We told him we couldn't serve minors. The boy walked away, went back to his dad, and then the groom stormed over yelling that we wouldn't give his son a beer. In what world do you live in where you can just have your son walk to the bar and get a beer for you? We explained we can't serve anyone underage, no matter the situation. And he said, well, he gets beers for me at home all the time, then grabbed his own drink and walked away. All of the staff just looked at each other like, did that just really happen? This guy sounds a real piece of work.
This poor staff. Hopefully this gives people some grace for wedding vendors and what they go through, because this is unfortunately not uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. Oh no.
Okay. Then she goes, and then there was Derek. At one point, we saw him crawling around on the dance floor. Why? His glass eye had popped out.
I'm so... Where do you live? Where is this? What the hell?
It says...
Why? Why does he have a glass eye? I hope this man's okay.
He's just drunk, crawling around on the floor looking for his eye.
God.
It says he picked it up, rinsed it off, and popped it right back in.
Carried on with a fireball. I love it.
Yeah.
Priorities are straight for this man, clearly.
Later, he climbed onto a chair, stroking the linens hanging from the ceiling, lantern in one hand, swaying like he was in his own private concert. Why is no one stopping him?
Where is his wife? She has stormed off. Why are we not looking for her?
This is the Derek guy, the guest.
Oh my God, wait. I thought that, okay, that makes sense. Who are these people? Need to be studied. Oh my God.
By the end of the night, as he staggered out to his car, why are people just watching him drive to his car? Someone noticed he had lost the glass eye again, this time in the horse pasture next to the venue. That sentence is very troubling to me because it sounds like he drove himself home and presumably with one eye, drunk and with one eye.
With one eye, I'm drunk. You know what? This venue needs to be shut down immediately. Immediately. You guys are our wedding vendors watching this go down, not calling the police.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, these drunk people getting into their cars. Like, come on. What are we doing here? She said, the next day, I have no idea what happened. I never saw Derek again and never saw the couple again either. But let's just say when you work weddings, you really do see it all. The good, the bad, and the downright unbelievable. And this wedding was definitely one for the books. I'll probably have a big problem at weddings, but this just sounds like people like this ruin it for everybody else. This poor bride ran away crying. We don't know what happened to her. Are her and the groom still together? Beats me. I couldn't be with someone after that.
No. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I have no words. I would like an update on this one, if you can find one. Maybe if you're a vendor, try to access the records.
Okay, this will be my hope. We're going to read this story. The story's going to come out. The bride is going to hear the story and she's going to be like, that's about me. I need to write my perspective, or maybe a bridesmaid. So it's not like directly, and then we can get a full update. So
I talked to
your thing.
Who could forget the glass eye, the horse pasture? Wow.
Yeah, I know. No. I feel like those are some good clues. So people that are listening, I mean, people find everyone on TikTok, right? I mean, they find the Coldplay couple, they find, you know, so people can find the glass eye guy. Maybe he will reach out to us. Let us know that you're alive and well.
And maybe stop drinking and driving
with
a glass eye, you know?
I'm going to hope maybe...
Look out for others.
Yeah. I'm going to hope he was just walking to his car to get like an overnight bag and then get in the Uber or something. I'm just going to hope that was...
Me too. Yes. We need to stay positive. Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to end with some confessions. People always send me some wild confessions. So here we go. This one says, I just wanted one of my sisters as my maid of honor. My mom said all five of my siblings had to be in the wedding. I mean, I guess it depends on how close you are. But if it's like boys and girls and your groom's not close to your brothers, how you can't really make him have them, right?
Depends on if mom's paying, right?
I guess.
Unfortunately, if mom's paying, mom gets a say. But oof, yeah, that's tough. I have a bunch of siblings and yeah, I think I had two sisters as bridesmaids, but yeah, we all vary in ages and closeness. So there was no way. So
yeah,
I think something I've really learned as I've gotten older is our parents' decisions aren't necessarily
our decisions, and that's okay. And like, if you aren't as close to some siblings, it's not your fault, yeah. Especially if there's like huge age gaps. If you have five siblings, I'm assuming. So yeah. But don't accept money if you aren't comfortable with something like that, for sure.
Yes. But I also agree too, or also think too, that like money is not an indicator of them being able to control. It has to be given as a gift. But to your point too, is like, if they are making it clear, because I'm giving you money, I make these decisions, then yeah, we're like, no, we don't need your help then. And we're going to just do a small wedding. This one says, I found my dream dress on Etsy and my mom said I couldn't get it because my back fat would hang out.
Oh, what?
So mad.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. That would be an uninvite for me. Like, yep. Someone that's supposed to make you feel good and beautiful and then make a comment about your body.
That's awful. Oh my God. And you're going to be thinking about that your whole wedding day now too, which is so sad, no matter what dress you end up wearing. Ugh.
Yeah.
What a terrible mom.
I know. Like, why would you make that comment? Like, ugh, I hate that. This one says, my wedding was rushed. My dad was dying. Mother-in-law told me, wait for him to die and plan a proper event. That is terrible.
What?
Why does the mother
oh my God. Think
that's okay to say?
Evil family members. What is this? Oh, that's awful. Of course you want your dad at your wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
Like the fact that she'll have those memories and like pictures with him. Like, oh my gosh, that's terrible. Okay. Let's do one more. My stepmom tried to guilt me into having my abusive alcoholic bio dad walk me down the aisle. Oh
my God.
I mean, I feel like that just goes back to like, don't do anything that you don't want to do for your wedding. Anything, especially that makes you uncomfortable or not happy on your wedding day.
I walked myself down the aisle because my dad passed away. And yeah, I feel like I had a similar situation where people were just giving me crap about it. And I was just like, this is my wedding. Why does anyone have to give me away? It's such an old-fashioned tradition. And if you want to do that, that's fine. But it should be representative of what you want, whether that's giving yourself away or someone you're equally close to, even a friend, even sisters.
Mm-hmm.
People walk their dogs down the aisle. Like, why does it have to be the tradition? Like, no.
Yeah, I know. I took that sentence out of our wedding about like, do your parents give you away? Because I was like, I've been out on my own for years at that point, my now husband, but like we'd already been living together for like 4 or 5 years at that point. So I'm like, they're not giving me away. I'm my own person out in the world already, you know? So that just felt like a weird dated phrase for me.
It is. Yeah. There's a lot of dated traditions in weddings that I think we need to analyze. And if your family's giving you crap about it, it's like, why do they need to be there? You know what I mean? Like your family should be making you feel good on your wedding day. And if they're not and they're causing drama, which just seems like a lot. I mean, it's just the tale as old as time with families causing drama at weddings. It's just like, analyze your closeness with these people. And it's good to know for the next phases of life of like, okay, check. I don't need Aunt Susie at this or that event because she's going to cause drama. So it's good to know, but it still sucks.
Yeah. No, for sure. That is wild. I feel for all these brides and grooms and whoever else that have to deal with that kind of stuff because it's just learning boundaries, I think, is like a really big thing. And when you realize that having a boundary is not mean, it's just making yourself more, I don't know, maybe at peace or something. I don't know the right term, but like it's just taking care of yourself, having boundaries. And they're not mean because as a recovering people pleaser, I feel like for the longest time, I was like, oh, boundaries are so mean. I can't have boundaries. But like, it's healthy. Like you need to have boundaries.
I think the people who push your boundaries always have the strongest boundaries, which I find very ironic and something that I've learned in the last several months. It's like, why can these people have the strongest boundaries in the world or just walk all over me? But then when I push back, they act like it's the biggest deal in the world. It's very interesting.
That's a
experience. Start to analyze that those relationships.
Yeah, it's almost like the opposite where they like weaponize the boundary, right? Like they are able to have the strong boundary, but they don't respect the same for other people. So that's
yeah. I'm a big proponent of you need to give the equal energy that you're capable of taking. And I definitely had some situations with my last relationship and like in-law stuff where things were said to me that I would never, if I said that back, it would be World War III, right? And it's like, why do you think that's acceptable to speak to me that way? And it's always so interesting. You see adults' emotional maturity when you do give it back to them or you do question their behavior. You start to see a lot of waterworks and a lot of triangulation and things like that. And I think it's hard with these family situations, but they do make you stronger on the other side of them. And they do force you to have those boundaries, even though it sucks to have them. They're there for a reason. That's a buzzword for a reason. So.
Yeah. Boundaries are like everywhere now, I feel like. And it's just about using them in the right way to, you know, bridge a gap, I think.
And your wedding day is the right way and the right day. So I'm a big proponent. Do what you want at your wedding. Who cares what anyone says online, in real life, your family, otherwise it's for you. And think about why you're doing it for the right reasons.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming back on, Cora. It was so great hanging out with you. Sorry for all the internet issues. I don't know what's going on over here. I got to figure that out.
Thanks. Having me again. Let's do it a third time.
Yes, you're always welcome back on. I've got like so many stories that are sent to me. So like we're just constantly rolling them out. So anytime you want to come back on. Well, again, for anybody that's listening, where can they follow you and what kind of content and all that good stuff do they see?
Yeah, you can follow me on TikTok at Cora Lakey or my Instagram, Cora.Lakey. I think different handles since the last time I was here. And yeah, I talk about my life kind of healing from starting over. I started over at 30 and kind of talking about all of the challenges, all the changes that I wasn't expecting. So it's been a wild ride and would love to have you along.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for coming on, Cora. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Here Comes the Drama. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with a friend who loves a good story. And make sure you're following me on all socials at Hey Krista Innes for even more stories, skits, and a little extra drama. Until next time, protect your peace, and I'll see you soon. Bye now.